Q groups are now to assist in directing psychic forces to counter the massive negativity which is swamping the Earth. How effective this will be, remains to be seen. Voldaren Somadia cryptic statement. When the universal magnetic fields return to normal, you can begin to expect the cosmic change to occur. The time when those fields stabilized, January 8, 1981, CCHAP. 10 The broadcast, UFOs African Encounters, by Cynthia Hind. Has now passed. Can we now expect the cosmic changes to alter the present order of things? Another warning of impending change came from Novak, an inhabitant of Epica. We have never said that the end is near, but now we are saying it. Hethan outlined some off-change that may be expected on Earth. There is a possibility of another flood as previously recorded in the Bible. He said this more than 2 years ago, and yet the predictions have, so far, not taken place. Earth will get warmer, Novak said. Upper layers of the atmosphere are getting thinner due to man-made conditions, and the layer shielding the Earth will deteriorate and cause slow melting of the polar ice caps. A few degrees rise in temperature will raise the level of the oceans on a global scale. An interesting comment by Novak is that it may be soft-come impossible to communicate telepathically with the Confederation craft in the manner being used now due to the heavy cloud of negativity on Earth. This is caused by hate campaigns, warfare, etc., which interferes with such communications. November 2, 1980. We should then realize that the end is near. But, he added immediately, we should not fear. We would all get instructions. Everything has been arranged to the smallest detail, and full instructions will be given when the time comes to all of those who, of their own free will, would like to leave Earth. With regard to children, Novak told us, here parents are the decisive factor, the taking of small children and even pets, presents no problem. There is a halfway station, should the great move from Earth to Epica ever become a reality. A conditioning station called Triton is available. Triton is an artificial planet built by Epica to a design that originated in the Confederation. Then it was towed to our solar system and placed in the shadow of Neptune. Pluto is its nearest neighbor. Triton resembles an enormous transparent globe. The conditions inside are as near as possible a copy of the ones on Earth, but more pure. The governor of this artificial world has already been appointed by the superiors of Epica. His name is Dion. We had the privilege of talking to him on October 5, 1980. The upper half of Triton is endosed by a transparent soft-inner dome which allows the sun to penetrate into the interior. These rays are amplified, Fastikit, 1,020 times to give them the same intensity as on Earth, and one would see the sky as one does down here. Air is generated, and so is water, but there is no pollution. This makes for a very pure atmosphere. The lower half of the planet is filled with soil. This again is brought in to resemble Earth's soil conditions so that our crops can be grown and also those of Epica's variety. There are some small lakes, rivers and plant life. Flora and fauna have been introduced and all is flurry soft-shing. It is like Agent Noah's Ark. An advance party of Earth dwellers are already living on Triton, where a confederation type of society is established and is going well so far. The area of arms, small towns and a whole ecological system is carefully directed by many experts from the Confederation. The main control center of Triton is located on the top of the transparent dome. This is the nerve center of the mini-world, employing a staff of 435 experts. Temperature is kept at required levels, semicolon rain is made to fall when needed, clouds float in the Tritonian sky and even gentle thunderstorms are regenerated. All this is done to make the transition from Earth to Epica as smooth and harmonious as possible. Artificial gravity is made to suit the inhabitants, and work opportunities are provided for lifestyles slowly modified to bring them into harmony with the way of life of the Confederation. Stress and strain are removed and there is no rat race. The Q groups were well taken care of by Epica during the 5-year break with the Confederation with regard to regular transmissions. A new phase had begun for us and all other Q groups with T-Rival off the Great Cosmic Magnetic Storm. This event effectively separated the two universes which are normally connected by a magnetic umbilical cord. For a time they were detached and thus separated so that no spacecraft could traverse a gaping void between them, and Earth and Epica were cut off from the Confsoft-Support. See diagram on next page slash under. One of the most frequent and popular communicators was Hirano. He is Japanese-born and is now in full soft-time service with the Epicacian Astral Fleet and lives on Epica. We were made to feel as part of the Confederation family. In fact, we were told on several occasions, "You are family, you will not be alone anymore." There were so many transmissions during this period that it is hard to sum them all up. Here is one in a lighter vein which is typical of the many received. On this occasion, Hirano spoke about a mission he had undertaken on behalf of the Confederation. After the usual greetings, he said, "One week ago, we had to land one night in France. Confederation scientists, who deal with soil and botany, wanted us to collect samples of soil from that particular area. Let me tell you what happened. We landed in what we thought was a deserted field at approximately 11 o'clock at night, and two members of our scientific team were sent out to take samples of soil. No sooner did they emerge from the ship when they saw a great commotion from a nearby dump of bushes. Immediately our men jumped back into the craft. They informed the main control center that there were people outside. We had a spotlight which we turned onto that area. To our surprise, we saw that we had landed at the end of a road. This was a dirt road that led to the field, and at the end of this was a dump of bushes. There was a motor vehicle parked there. A man and a woman were running down the road as fast as they could. We were surprised to see that the woman had no clothes on. The man was holding his underwear and the woman was content to just keep her shoes on her feet. You can well imagine, Hirano continued, that we left that area in great haste. We realized that we had probably spoiled their evening. But we did not do this on purpose, for how could we know that there was lovemaking going on in that remote part of France? It is incredible how afraid people are of us. I suppose they maintain that we will do them harm, which is of course the last thing on our minds. One dark night, three men paid Edwin a visit at his home. This came after a brief spate of publicity in the form of newspaper write-ups and interviews with journal soft-hyphenists. Edwin and his wife were watching TV. There was a knock at the door. On opening it, Edwin faced three men. One of them remained standing at the door while the two others came inside. They were dressed in ordinary clothes. One of the men waved an official-looking document at Edwin and told him that it was illegal to distribute alien messages. They confiscated the radio which Voldo had given to him, and this has never been returned. It was a shock to us all, but especially to Edwin. However, Weissman did not cut us off from the Confederation, as other methods of communication had already been brought into use. For instance, this could take the form of a beam transmission to a standard portable tape recorder with a 12-volt circuit. Those who took the radio were under the mistaken impression that a particular instrument was necessary for this form of communication with the Confederation. Nothing could be further from the truth, for the Confederation can use a human brain as a receiver, as they do in Edwin's case, or they could use radio or tape recorder reception. In this book I have had to be very selective, for so much taped material is available and more is added to this veritable mountain of transmissions at the rate of 2 every month. Therefore, only the most interesting tips have been included here. Many are of more personal nature and would be of no interest to the general public. To conclude this book, a special request was made by me to Voldar, that is, for him to make a transmission to be included in the final chapter. This he did, making that transmission on the 9th of June, 1982. It was beamed to a tape recorder and this transcript of the message is provided with some editing. It began with a call from Hirano, who was, apparently acting as an intermediate relay station. We heard him calling, Voldemar Carindo, do you read? And this continued for some time. Then the answer came, and this too, we overheard. Voldemar Carindo must have been a great distance away because their reply was rather weak. We heard dearly. However, how the radio operator said, please stand by ... you will shortly hath voicen auf Volda. After a pause and some more exchanges between the radio operators, we heard Volda. I recognized his voice immediately. He seemed to reflect some of the timbre and resonance of Weora's voice. I am Volda. Greetings, my friends of Earth. As I make this transmission, memories of the good old times are flooding back. Memories of the many transmissions we made to your group, and then I think how times have changed soft-jed on your planet and for us too, for that matter. It makes one realize that time marches, it waits for no man but continues its cycle and evolution through the endless void of space. Changes have taken place on your planet as they have and the Confederation, and when you look around, you cannot help feeling that there is the mighty hand of the unseen creator which moves through time and space. It is relentless, it heals. One remembers the good old times and the bad. We in the Confederation have been progressing soft-adily old time. Unfortunately, it is sad to say, Earth seems to have made very little progress at all. I am pleased to have been given this opportunity to speak to you and to voice my opinion. Ah yes, I would like to add something to the end of your book, Carl. I am sorry I have not been able to make it sooner, but then, so many things have happened. But, never to worry, here I am. I do have something to say. It is very little, but it is something I feel very strongly about. Something from the bottom of my heart. No doubt, you will take whatever you choose, whatever you feel is appropriate to be used. I hope that what I am going to say tonight will be what you require. So then, let me begin. Many years ago we had great hopes and expectations for planet Earth, Asuelkano. We tried many different ideas. We tried to bring peace and make peace on your planet. Fleets of craft were used, underground bases were established in various countries with the permission of the governments involved. Various representatives, including myself, visited Earth for periods of time, to try to establish friendly links between the people and ourselves. It worked for a little while, I must say. But then, unfortunately, all communications were severed and this link between us broke down. Simply because of a misunderstanding of our intentions on the part of our governments. And it seems Tateway came too soon in time. It now seems that we have very little hope of ever bringing peace, total peace to your planet. My superiors on Calder's and the other superiors of the Confederation persevered for a great deal of time until eventually they had to admit that there was little hope. So, as you all know, the land bases were withdrawn and we moved back further in space. But we are still keeping a very watchful eye on you. Eventually, moving even further afield in your universe, we established ourselves on a young, uninhabited soft-ited planet which we called Epica. From Epica and from your moon, where we have a base in the Sea of Tranquil soft-itai, very close observations are made and recorded of events on Earth. No longer are we active on the surface of Earth, but our craft are still patrolling the magnetic fields, just beyond your atmosphere. This is our limit. We will not, dare not, intervene, nor shall we in any way interfere in matters on Earth. That is, physics soft-ally. When I say physically, I mean by our personal presence on your planet. Nor shall any of our craft enter your atmosphere to participate or intervene in any sit soft-ition whatsoever. But all hope is not abandoned.